Have you ever wondered what event leaders are doing right now to pack their rooms and convert attendees into high-ticket clients? Welcome to the High Profit Event Show, the podcast for experts who want to maximize profits and impact through live events. I'm Rudy Rodriguez, and each week I interview industry leaders to share what's working right now when it comes to filling your events, engaging your audience, and getting clients to enroll into your high-ticket programs. So stick around and be sure to hit that subscribe button. Welcome to our next episode of the High Profit Event Show. Today, we have a wonderful guest with us, Mr. Jace Souter from World Class Speaker Academy. Welcome, sir.
Rudy, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man, excited to have you on the show. It was great chatting with you here in the green room and getting to hear about your background and experience in events. Fun fact, you've been doing events since 2002, and over the last 20 plus years, you've gotten all of your clients through events that you've led, run, facilitated, spoken at, running a seven-figure business for over a decade. And you've been part of at this point, close to 200 live events, like three-day event, preview events, et cetera. So you have a breadth of experience that you've also now been able to help your clients learn how to speak professionally on other stages and acquire clients at events as well. Mm-hmm. And not to mention the fact that you've also been able to collaborate with some pretty well-known names out there, being published in a book with Deepak Chopra, Tony Robbins, Mark Victor Hansen, and other very notable people. So you've been around the block, you've been there, you've done that, and you're here to share with us some of your best kept tactics for leading profitable and impactful events.
Yeah, I'm stoked to be here, Rudy. Also, just to be clear, it was during COVID that we really started to take off. And when the virtual events became a thing, that's when we became a seven-figure company. So we've been seven figures for a few years now, but just wanted to make sure it was clear, not a decade. By the way, something I didn't mention when you and I were chatting before the show, you mentioned you were a naval aviator. My dad was a Rio. My dad was a backseater in the F-4, and he did over 300 missions in Vietnam. He wound up being shot down, and he spent a year as a POW. He was gone from when I was like about a year and a half to two and a half. And I share that, one, because I think it's super cool. You're an aviator. Two, part of my passion for this is I think my dad had some wounding of that time being in jail over there in Hanoi. And my dad was a very, very like type A personality, like do it right, and very detailed as well. And I'm a very touchy-feely type. And we've always had a strained relationship. I was raised by my mom. And one of the reasons I do what I do, I believe coaches can change the world. And I believe if a coach had stepped in at the right time, if there had been coaches available, I think my dad and I could have a really different relationship if that had been there when I was growing up. So am I making any sense here? Part of my passion for this is coaches and events have always been there at some of the most important and painful moments in my life and have made such a difference. And that's part of the reason I do what I do. I want to pass this on and make transformation and health and wellness and all of that great stuff available to people. And so we want to empower coaches so they can go make a difference in the world. And it comes out of personal pain I've experienced. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, it makes sense, man. And that's cool to hear about. I mean, cool, not cool, right? I'm glad you made it from that experience. But that's also very unique, I imagine, life-shaping experience, not just for him, but for your family. Thanks for sharing that. And I know one more thing I want to mention that came up in the green room, I didn't share it in the introduction here, is the who and the what, or the why, I should say. And you mentioned that for you, it's really important that you believe that every person has a God-given mission and that can be fulfilled and funded through their business and through speaking specifically. Mm-hmm. I know you're very inspired by that, so I want to make sure that got shared here.
Thanks.
Most certainly, man. So let's chat a little bit about your experience with live events. And we have about 20 minutes here in our audience. We'd love to get into those golden nuggets. We know that the top things when it comes to events is top of mind is, hey, how do I get people to my live event? How do I fill my live event? Then people are like, okay, now that I get people at my event, how do I keep them engaged? And ultimately, how do I make that offer, right? How do I convert them to the next event or to that high ticket program? So we'll take this one step at a time here, but love to hear your experience with each of these areas. Let's start with the first one. Like the number one question from event leaders, it's how do I fill my event? How do I get more people to my next event? So I'd love to hear from you, Chase. What's been working for you and your experience when it's come to filling your live events?
So I have to say that the only thing that's ever worked for us, it's the only thing I ever learned. It's what I learned. I started going to seminars in 2001. My life sucked. I went to this personal growth event. It turned my life around. I started going to all of these events. I became a seminar junkie, but I applied it. I learned it. And then I went to work back for that first company. I did back of room sales. I carried luggage. I was a roadie. I wound up coaching for them. Then I sold their events. And then I got to lead their events. And then I did my own. But anyway, so the only thing I've ever known is selling from stage. So it used to be, and the models changed. So for you guys and girls, that sounds horrible. For y'all coming up now, it's so much easier. So it used to be for my business model, I would be a guest speaker at an in-person event. Maybe it was a three-day event. So you fly out the day before the event. You're there for 3 days. You fly home on day five. So it took 5 days to speak at an event. And what I used to do is sell a $1,000 or $2,500 ticket to a three-day training I would host, a coaching program. And this was pre-Zoom. And people would come out to our three-day event and we would deliver an amazing event. And then we would upsell them into a bigger coaching package. And so I did that for years and years and years and years. And then when COVID came out, the model shifted. The model started to shift right before COVID. And instead of doing like a $1,000 ticket or a $2,500 ticket, people started selling like a $97 ticket or a seat deposit. And then people would come out and you sell them in a coaching program. So what we do now is typically we speak on virtual events, some in person, mostly virtual, and we'll sell a $97 up to like a $500 package. And people will come either. We like to do hybrid events now. We've been really playing with hybrid events, and I'll share why in a moment. And then people will come out to the hybrid event, either attend in person or virtually, and we'll upsell them into our big ticket coaching package. Does that make sense so far?
Yes.
So the reason I'm really digging hybrid, we did one in February of this year, and we only had just a handful of people live, and every single one of them bought. I think we had four or five people live, and we were selling a 20K coaching program. One was already in. Three more bought at 20K, and the fifth person bought a 30K package. She bought a little extra. And then we, on our Zoom, we closed about 20% of the people on Zoom. Our total closing rate for the whole thing, including the in-person, was 25%. So the reason I really dig hybrid, if people will show up to your event in person, your chances of closing them goes through the roof. It goes way up. Just the human connection, the conversations, the pouring into them more, the chances for your back of room salespeople to ask for the sale over and over again, your closing percentage goes way up. And then not everybody wants to come in person. Not everybody's available. So the Zoom is really viable too. So that's what we've been really pushing into now is that. And we also did an in-person preview event in June, and it was about 24 people. And we did $200,000 in sales at that. I don't remember how many people actually. So it would have been, 10 bought. So what's 10 out of 24? That was our closing rate. So I believe it was close to 40%. Yeah. So we did about 40%. So that's really great. I mean, that's a fantastic number. We hadn't done a lot of promotion for that one. We didn't have a lot of stages lined up to sell people into that event. I was super happy with that. 24 people, 200K is fantastic. Should I keep riffing or?
Yeah. I mean, what I'm hearing you say is one, there's only one way that you've ever done it, and that's by speaking on stages or doing preview type events to fill your event. So you really dial that in. And the outcome of that most recently was a hybrid event where you had some people virtually and some people in person, and you found that model worked extremely well, especially with the people in person, having everyone that was in person invest in your 20K program. And overall having, I didn't catch it was the same event or a different event, but you had a situation where you had 40% of people convert into your program. So was it the same event or was it a different one?
A little bit different event. And that second one in June was just in person. It wasn't hybrid.
Okay, got it. See, yeah. So that second one in person is 40% of people. Yep. And so, which is a great number. Those are definitely numbers. And we can break that down so much more, but I appreciate you sharing that. Anything specifically you want to share about like what you do? I know it's speaking on stages, but can you tell us maybe a little bit more about specifically what that looks like?
Yeah, for sure. To fill the room, to speak on stage and sell tickets, I think if you're going to, what's your 1 hour talk is what you're going to give. And there's three parts to that. It's your content, I believe there's a series of psychological switches you have to get on in the audience in order for them to say yes. And then you got to marry that up with great delivery. And something we're seeing in the market today, too many people are getting up there and just delivering content and they're kind of boring and they don't ever touch the heart of their audience. And so like we have a formula, the number of times people laugh times the number of times the number of times people are like in their feelings, like they have a lump in their throat, a thump in their chest, a tear in their eye, the times they're choked up. So laughs times feels equals number of impacts you make. Laugh times feels equals the number of lives you change. And laughs times feels equals the number of sales you make. So in your 1 hour preview, when you're selling into your event, if you're not getting them laughing or crying or touched or emotional, your sales are going to go way down. Your show up rate's going to go way down. Your conversions are going to go way down. If you can get that dialed in, it's going to go way up. So our formula to rock out the 1 hour is compelling content times dynamic delivery times you. And that's your mindset. And that's a place a lot of people don't look, I believe. And I'll give an example of where this comes in doing the 3-day event itself. We were consistently closing 15% of the room at our virtual events. And we filled up an event. We had a ton of people coming. And if we did 15%, it should have been a $1 million event. And I hadn't done the work internally to accept and be a $1 million closer in a weekend. And whatever way, I sabotaged it subconsciously, and we wound up only selling 5%. So we still had hundreds of thousands of dollars in sales, but it wasn't the event it could have been. And so when you're going back to the preview, I believe you got to do the work so that you are your highest, best self on stage. Because what's in you magnifies on stage. And the more important the stage, like meaning the more you have on the line. So if you paid for a sponsorship, like I have a sponsorship coming up in October in Dallas. I believe it's $15,000 I paid. Should be about 500 to 1,000 people. So the bigger the stage, the bigger the sponsorship, the more our internal stuff is going to come to the surface. And we want to make sure that it's not the stuff that can stop us. We want to make sure what comes to the surface is those things that empower us and move us forward. So I am a big proponent and a big fan of when you're speaking to sell tickets to your event or when you're speaking at your event, do a lot of mental and emotional prep work before you take the stage so that you are like in the best state you could be in. And that, like, I work with a couple of coaches and we'll do muscle testing, body testing, and we'll check for, okay, are there any negative beliefs here that are going to sabotage me? Am I holding on to keeping this company small as opposed to growing it for whatever reason? And we'll deal with that stuff. And then also, I have friends who are biohackers. They have like a biocharger machine. It's this amazing like Tesla coil thing that Anthony Robbins has. I go over there and I biocharge and I get neurofeedback with these wires on my head. I do a ton of stuff.
I love the biocharger, by the way.
Yes. It's awesome. Great.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Yeah. Thank you for just diving deeper. I think right there, you just gave a mega nugget right there. Like, hey, we're signature talk, great content. I think you said content and then the delivery and then the mindset, right? Those are the three components of your formula, and really expanded big on the mindset aspect and gave a great example of how you yourself saw where you noticed that your mindset kept you at a few multiple six figures where it could have been a seven figure weekend, and how much effort you put in yourself and help your clients put in to make sure they're prepared internally, not just their content, not just the delivery to be able to achieve their outcomes when it comes to filling their events and enrolling at their events. So thanks for expanding on that, man. I thought that was really great. And I know, obviously, this is something that you do professionally, so you can probably go a lot more down this rabbit hole. Great. So let's talk a little bit about the events themselves and the engagement component of live events. The problem that oftentimes people face, if it's virtual, it's people turning their cameras off or dealing with all the other browser tabs that are open or their cell phones going off or the kids crying. If it's in person, it's dealing with the cell phones and what other conflicts people come up with. If you're in Vegas, all the other distractions, wherever you're at, right? So how to engage your audience in such a way where they're present, they're engaged, they're doing the work, and they get the promise of the event. So love to hear your best practices or experiences when it comes to maximize engagement at your events.
Sure. I got a lot, so I'll jump in. So mention the ones that I think everybody knows about already. There's like little games you could play, like having a wheel and giving away prizes, and people have to have their cameras on and all that stuff. And so I think everybody knows that, so I'll move off of that quick. And I want to acknowledge, it is really disheartening sometimes and frustrating when people have cameras off. It just is, and it kind of stinks. Having said that, here's some of the things we do that I think set our events apart. So first is, when you structure your coaching program, I call it the three islands. And the way I like to think about a coaching program, and this is an event, coaching program, whatever it is, your prospect's on the left side of this giant river or an ocean, and the outcome of your coaching's on the other side. We call this the promised land. And so to get across, there needs to be three islands, and the three islands are the three contextual areas of your coaching program. And so the first two islands for most coaches are like how to. It's how to make money, how to save your relationship, how to lose weight, how to whatever. And do you know who Brian Clemmer is by any chance?
I don't.
He's like an OG in the personal growth space. One of the first seminars I went to, he didn't teach it. I think he was already passed away. But he wrote this great book called If How To's Were Enough, We'd All Be Skinny, Rich, and Happy. Because how to's aren't enough. And I just read a book called Stealing Fire, and they're looking up, I think his name is Greg Pine. I'm forgetting the author's name, but they quoted this guy. And this is, like, if there's nothing else, Rudy, that people take away from our time, I hope they grab onto this. We used to be in the information economy, and coaches sold information, how to do this. And they would sell these CDs and ship them to your house and DVDs and whatever else. And I remember when I was single, I bought like Double Your Dating. You mentioned Evan Pagan. I bought his stuff way back when I was single. It's like how to get more dates. Well, we used to be in the information economy. Then we moved to the experiential economy. And the experiential economy is why Cabela's like has a mountain inside of it. And people are, and a lot of coaches are taking people on vacations and they're doing all this experiential stuff. To be straight, a lot of coaches are still the information age. They're still just selling information. A lot of them have moved to creating a great experience, which I believe if you're doing an event, it has to be an experience, but that's not enough. Where we're going to, and this is where I believe a lot of people are going to be left behind, we're moving to a transformational economy where the client is the product. And so what I believe is happening, Rudy, is when I started, I was teaching personal growth and I'm talking about subconscious programming and all this stuff. And people kind of give me the side eye, like, what are you talking about? Now the market is so savvy, they are well aware of personal growth. They are well aware that they have limiting programs and beliefs. I mean, I'm on TikTok and they sell books about how to deal with your shadow side and all this. And so what's happening in the market is I believe the market knows they need to become someone new. So if someone's selling how to get rich, I believe the market knows it's not enough to just learn this. They need to become someone internally who is wealthy. They need to make the identity shift in the ontological transformation to become that new person. And so I believe people are going to start shopping on who can deliver transformation and who's got transformation as a part of their coaching program, because that's what makes all the difference. We can teach 100 people the same stuff on real estate investing, but only a handful are going to use it, the people with the right internal makeup. But if we can change the internal makeup of people, then a much bigger group will actually use it and have success. So I believe the way the market's going to go is people are going to search for who can help me transform. And so we call this the third island principle. Your first two islands are how-tos. Your third island is a transformation island. And so what I want to invite coaches to start doing is either learn how to do transformation for your people or invite a coach in and make them a part of your program, someone who could deliver transformation as a part of your program. This is making sense so far? So one of the things we do at our live events that gets retention up and then conversions up is we always have a transformational section in our event. We do something to cause people to have that breakthrough, that, oh, that moment of, ah, to where they become someone new. And so that third island is a part of our events and it's a part of our coaching program too. So I believe as you're crafting, not just your event, but your coaching program, transformation needs to be a part of the program.
Yeah, that's an awesome seed there. It's a really great point. I remember actually one of my early interviews on this podcast was Evan Pagan. And it's actually still one of the most popular interviews on this podcast. But he talked about his 3-day framework, one of the 3 days being a focus of this transformation, just exactly the way you described it, and how critical that is to actually have the work make a difference for the customer. And of course, it's going to impact conversions and have them stick around and want to come to another event and join your team again, which is wonderful. Yeah. So let's talk about that, because I think that is ultimately starting with the end in mind. We oftentimes have these, and call them entry-level events or beginner, not to say beginner, but like first events, with the intention of deepening the relationship and taking them to a more advanced training or more advanced event, or getting them more support in the form of a mastermind or advanced training. But there's a key part of that, which is you got to get them to say yes. You got to get them to raise their hand and sign a contract and pay money. And I know you do that, obviously, from stage. I'd love to hear like what your best practices are when it comes to selling from stage and getting them to raise their hand for the next experience.
Awesome. Can I back up, though, and talk a little bit more about the interaction? Because I believe that forwards the sale.
Yeah, so please go ahead.
One of the things that we do during the event, and this, when we're talking about getting people engaged, keeping them engaged, we create agreements. And so, like, one of our agreements, and it has nothing to do with morality, it is don't cuss. And it's because if people cuss, it will cost them stages. So it's a good practice not to cuss. We create agreements like play full out. And what does that mean? When we ask for people to raise their hands, like with questions, you raise your hand even if you don't have a question. Like you play full out. You be there to support each other. You be on time. So we actually lay these agreements out and say, look, if you can't agree to these, let us know and we'll give you a ticket to a future event. So we're creating a container where we're expecting them to show up a certain way. And then we also share our standards. We've taken the time to discover and write out what are the standards of our community. So for instance, one of my favorite standards is there's no throwaway comments and there's no throwaway people. And what that means is when you're speaking on stage, you've been granted the space of authority that everything you say can implant on people's heart. And a throwaway comment can really zing someone and cause them years of hurt and pain. Whereas on the other hand, when you're very intentional with your words, you really have the opportunity to build people up. Our last standard, we have a whole list, is we lead with love. And we have that on shirts. We have that everywhere. It says we lead with love. We sell shirts that say that. I actually got these shirts. I went to Ghana and I served at a place that saves kids from being child slaves. And they had this shirt. And then I asked them to send me the design. And we make these shirts and sell them when we send all the money back to save these child slaves. Which, by the way, is another thing that helps conversions, is that we tithe usually a big piece of our revenue. So I can look people in the eye and say, look, when you buy, you're going to also help set a child slave free. And so having it tied into a charity will have people move and spend money that if they're on the fence, they'll do it. Plus now they get to be a part of something. So going back to the interaction, we set up standards and we set up agreements and then we call people on them. And so if people don't raise their hands, why aren't you raising your hands? And usually whatever has them not raise their hand on the Zoom is exactly what's stopping them from raising their hand in life and not getting on stages per se. So those are two of the things that we do. And we have crafted a really amazing community. And I think it's because we create these agreements, because we create a safe place, because we create this container. And then as we go towards the offer, small yeses lead to big yeses. And so as we've been training them to say yes, that's going to lead to the conversions. One of the things we like to say is be the audience you want. And the other one is how you buy is how you sell. And so we actually do a personal growth thing where people see that people who really, really like details tend to give a lot of details when they sell. People who are like fast closers, they close hard, they buy fast, which is great. Actually, that's a very positive way to be, unless you're a really hard closer who's going to get a bunch of refunds. But one of the things we teach people is if you're a no, it just as a general way of being, there's no way you're going to sell from stage. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. To me, it's impossible. Because, or if you're someone who accepts the excuse from yourself of I don't have the time or I don't have the money, if someone comes up to you and says, well, I don't have the time, you have to accept it because it's something you say. Or if they say, I don't have the money, you have to accept it because it's something you say. On the other hand, though, if you get a breakthrough and you learn how to find the time and money, and someone comes up to you and says, I don't have the time or money, you can say, you know what? I used to be the same, but I had a breakthrough are you open to a breakthrough? And then you can move them through it. So I believe it's Sasevich used to say, let the reason you can't be the reason you must. And so it's very similar to that. We're teaching them to overcome their inner obstacles during the event, which one is of high value to them. And two, as they overcome their inner obstacles, they're going to be a faster buyer. Do I have time for a quick story to add on to this as evidence?
Yeah, please just go ahead. Yeah, I know we're on bonus time right now, but this is really great. So I'm sure our audience appreciates it.
All right, cool. So do you know Matt Basak by any chance?
I don't know yet.
All right, Matt Basak's one of the OGs, like OG in digital marketing. Like he created stuff people use today. He's probably the top guru on email marketing. So Russell Brunson, ClickFunnels, right? Like Matt, from what I understand, used to like coach Russell. If nothing else, Matt's at least in Russell's highest level coaching program. So talking about how you buy is how you sell. I was in Matt's mastermind and it was my first time there and I'm on the hot seat and I just got it on my heart to ask this. I don't know where it came from, but I just said, when you guys are in a sales environment in an in-person event and someone sells something, how many of you are first at the table? Everybody's hand shot up. They're all like, we buy first. And I was like, isn't that interesting? And Matt took that question back to Russell Brunson's mastermind. And he said, okay, in a sales environment, how many of you guys are first at the table? Every hand shot up. And I used to think, oh, these people are just first because they made a lot of money. So I was teaching sales and I was at this one event. I would come back and teach year after year after year. And they would pay me to come in and teach their highest level people. And they were home inspectors. Doesn't sound sexy. Great niche, though. And they were being taught to go into realtors' offices and do presentations to get referrals. And these guys were horrible on stage. And I'm like, how about I create a speaker training? I'll sell it to these guys. We'll do $1,000. And I printed up 5 forms. And I'll never forget when I finished, 15 people mobbed me. It was like 20% of the room, which is a great number. And I was like, holy crap, this is really in demand. And I noticed the 15 were all the highest money makers in the room. And I was like, oh, they just bought because they have the money. But when I got to know them, what I realized was they were the top money makers because when they saw something that would help them, they invested in it. So they were, if you look at the idea adoption curve, they were the innovators and the early adopters. They bought fast because it gave them a strategic advantage. And so one of the things I want people to understand for their audience, and I want the audience to understand, is people who buy fast and apply tend to win. And powerful people make decisions quickly. And so if you want to be someone who sells from stage effectively, you have to be someone who buys. Like, I don't know how you can be that without it.
Become the buyer you want to attract.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes sense. I appreciate all those examples you shared there. That's great. Thank you for that. So again, that's the inner work. It's like, how do you get people to move to the next step of the program? You have to become that person first.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent, man. Anything else that you want to share specifically about that critical moment when you take the stage and you make that ask from people to join your program or come to the next event? Anything else on that?
Yeah, it's something I learned from Blair Singer. Do you know Blair? He wrote Sales Dogs. So I go way back. Like, I've been going to seminars and events since the early 2000s. And around 2004, I saw Blair at an event. I think it was a Kiyosaki. I don't know whose event it was. And he was talking about how to structure your value stack, your big package. And he said, you get an idea in mind for price, and then you add value, and you keep adding value until you go, oh, that's just too much. I can't add all that. And you add that so that when you make your offer, your emotional state is, I know how much you guys are getting, and the audience will feel it. Like, give them so much. Let me address this in a second. But give them so much that you're like, this is such an amazing deal, and the audience will feel it. Now, having said that about giving them the so much, the days of just selling people like the kitchen cabinet and it's so much, meaning it's just this litany of courses they're supposed to listen to, those days are over. But the so much could be, have your stuff so dialed in or so powerful or so good or so germane to where they are that the audience feels like, wow, this speaker really is giving me a great deal and they really have my best interest at heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the point you're making there. It's again, goes back to the inner work. It's like, give so much that you yourself feel like you're giving too much.
Yes.
And they will feel it, right? So I love it, man. You went, I'm over here expecting like tactics, like sales training tactics, and you're like, inner work. Become the person. Make sure you're congruent. I love it. And yeah, honestly, that's probably what matters more. That's, I think I'm glad you're sharing that. You have an event coming up in, I think, a few weeks from now in October.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that event, because I know you have a pretty cool gift for our audience who's tuned in up to this point.
We do. So it's called Speak to Millions. And the idea is, come and learn the business structure of getting a $1 million coaching company, or how to grow your business using the power of speaking. And so we're going to talk about, it's going to be me, a few of my hand-selected guest speakers who are seven-figure business people. And we're going to talk about, what's the structure to reach $1 million in sales? What's the structure using speaking and selling from stage? We're also going to talk about how to structure, when I talked about the three islands, how to put together your coaching program such a way that people like want it, they desire it, they love it. We're going to do transformational work at it so that you can radiate on stage, as well as the stuff I was talking about, money blocks. We're going to do a lot of work on money blocks. And then the guy that introduced us, Steve Warner, he's going to be our MC, and Steve is a phenomenal coach as well. So it's October 22 through 24. It's hybrid. Typically, we sell tickets to this. I just sold the tickets yesterday for $500. And because we're on this Zoom, and because we are doing a podcast, we have a special URL for you guys. You can get a ticket absolutely free. I do want to be clear, the people that bought yesterday for $500 got a whole bunch of other trainings with it. So I want to be fair to them. And you can get a ticket to the event, and you can either attend on Zoom, or you can come out to Boise and come in person and rub elbows with a lot of achievers. And people ask all the time, Rudy, what's the best way to get on stage? One, rock the stage you're on. Two, go into rooms of people in person that have stages and get to know them. That's the number two, like, best way to get on stage. So a free ticket for your guys. So I give out the URL. You want to put it in the notes?
Yeah. So we'll have the URL here in the show notes, or and somewhere around this video as well, or audio, wherever you're listening to it, because we have a few different mediums here. And for our audience here, you're listening and you're liking what Jace is sharing about how he does things. There's no better thing to do but to go just experience it yourself and get to see it in real time. And more than anything, just connecting with other like-minded people, right? Proximity is power.
Yes. So
it's a really generous gift. I appreciate the fact that you offered this gift to our audience, and I highly recommend, if you're still tuning in, go register for the event. Is it okay if they bring a friend? Is that permissible, or what are the guidelines there?
Sure. Share it all you would like. It's going to be speaktomillionslive.com/secret. So speaktomillionslive.com/secret. And yeah, absolutely bring a friend.
From this podcast, Jace has been awesome, man. Any final words of advice you have for our audience as we wrap up?
Yeah, I think that if you're coaching and doing events, it can be one of the most rewarding and one of the most challenging things you ever do. And you're dealing with people, and there's easier ways to make a buck. I don't know how many ways there are, though, to make as much money and as much impact as selling from stage. I think it's the fastest way to grow your business. So just want to encourage you guys. Stephen Pressfield wrote a great book, The War of Art. Not to be confused with The Art of War. That's a totally different book. But The War of Art. And he talks about that thing that you want to bring to the world isn't like a selfish bid for attention. You were meant to move the human race 1 millimeter further along its path back to God. So don't cheat us of your contribution, guys. Give us what you've got, because you're out there and something's in your heart. You were born to make a difference. You were born to make an impact. And I believe make a crap ton of money while you do it. So even though it's going to get hard some days, get through it, because someone's praying for you to show up. Someone's praying to hear that speech that's in your heart.
Amen. Thank you, Jace. Appreciate that.
Sure.
And that briefly here, one more thing I want to mention is, I know you have a book that our audience can find on Amazon. Can you just mention what that book is real quick? And we'll include a link here around the episode as well.
Sure. It's Turning Points. We're up to our third episode, our book now, and it's stories of, we call it your turning point story. Some people call it your high, low, high, or your dip story. It's that story of hell that our people went through that molded them into who they are today. that allows them to make a difference. And I believe for anyone who's called to coaching or speaking, you've been through something in your life. And while you're like, I don't ever want to repeat that again, you can reach a place where you're grateful for it because it equips you to make the difference that you were meant to make in the world. And so it's a compilation of stories like that. It's really a great encouragement.
Awesome. Beautiful. I'm glad you expanded on that. That was perfect parlay on what you were sharing as well. So thank you for that. We'll include a link here again of our audience. If I'm valuing this episode, be sure to give us a review, share the episode with someone who would appreciate it, register for the event, listen or buy the book, and just get engaged. Reach out to Jace, get into his world, and learn from his decades of experience directly. Thank you, Jace. It's been a great interview. Really enjoyed having you on today.
Thanks, Rudy. It's been great. See you soon.
Okay, take care.
Thank you for listening to the High Profit Event Show. If you are a seminar leader or thought leader or event service provider who has led or supported profitable, successful events to over 100 people, and you've been effective at enrollment into your high-end coaching, education, mastermind type programs, we're looking for guests. Love to have you on the show. You can go to our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com, click on the podcast tab and submit an application to be on our show. Also, if you found the show to be valuable, share it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Take a moment, please leave a review, and also subscribe if you haven't already. And lastly, if you have an upcoming event, whether it be virtual or in person, and you'd like to have a conversation about how to fuel your coaching, education, mastermind programs fast using events, you're welcome to book a complimentary 15-minute consult with either myself or a member of my team on our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com. Again, this is Rudy Rodriguez, and congratulations on investing the time to listen to this episode. I hope it's been valuable. Have a great day.